Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome, folks, to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 3rd, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. And folks, we have been getting people taking me up on my offer to send me a letter either in the mail or by email with your address on it, and I will take it to service with us, and we'll anoint it with oil, we'll pray on it, and we will mail it back to you at no charge to you. So if you can't reach us by telephone and you'd like one of these done this way, send me an email, or preferably send me one in the mail, a physical letter, and we will send it back to you at no cost. This is a service to you. But you can call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, or an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Now, that's real smartphone friendly, and when you go over there, look for a link that says End Time Radio Archives. You go over there, that's branch.podomatic.com, and they even have some apps that you can do to your telephone, you know, your smartphones that you use, you can stream also. There's lots of ways to listen. Like that right now, people are listening on satellite, people are listening by telephone, people are listening on FM stations. People all over the world are listening to this international radio program right now. So, anyway, share it with others, and now let's have a prayer, because it's really going to be a good program tonight, especially with everything happening in September. In fact, both programs tonight are going to kind of deal with September and some of the things that people are saying, and whether they be good or whether they be bad, we're going to talk about them, I think. Anyway, prayer first and then talk later, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes not according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will, but your will, Father, so it blesses the people and it glorifies you and doesn't glorify the world. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight has been on with us many times, and usually, you know, for some reason, he always seems to get on around feast time, but it doesn't matter. He's most centered on watching Iran and what he thinks will happen soon, and things are leaning towards, and it's very, very strong agreement with him. A lot of things are pointing towards Iran, maybe even starting World War III. We'll see. But anyway, I don't think that's what we're going to talk about. He is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the End Times. Now, that's really a good book, seeing how it's an idiot's guide. Yuck, yuck. Anyway, Of the Last Days is another book he wrote, and he wrote a thing called The Watchman Guide Series, some of which include The Watchman's Guide to the Time of the End, The Watchman's Guide to Revelation, The Watchman's Guide to the Rapture, The Watchman's Guide to the End Time Repentance, Watchman's Guide to Daniel's Prophecies, and I don't know if there's more than that or not, but it's the whole series, and so he'll tell you how to get them. But anyway, I asked him to come on and talk with us about several things, and for him to pick a subject. And he picked a great subject. So let's now get him on. Welcome, my friend, Richard Perry. Are you there with me, Richard?
Hello, Dan. Yeah, I'm here with you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine, brother. How are you?
Great. I'm really good.
Yeah, I'm in a really good mood today, considering all this calamity that's supposed to happen this month.
Yeah, it seems like everywhere I go, talk to people, they come running up to me and say, oh my God, you know, I mean, people are saying everything from the rapture to economic Armageddon to, you know, World War III, Russia's going to attack Israel, you know, all going to happen this month because I guess, you know, the books on the blood moons and the last blood moon happening on the 28th of September this year. The Feast of Trumpets happening on September 13th, which is also like one day away from when our Congress is supposed to vote on the Iran nuclear deal, you know? So
yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of excitement about this month.
Yeah, absolutely. If you switch the focus off for a second of what, you know, the prophecy or the religious world or, you know, is saying, and you look to what the economists are saying, the economist, and that's part of, I think, what's helping to fuel all this is because a lot of economists are really saying disaster this month or beyond for the stock market and so on. And so that's part of what's fueling it. I also know that this is a real good example this month of a couple of things that were said by a few people that other people just really piled on. And anyway, but I brought you on to talk about it. So back to you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I keep getting confronted with people saying that, you know, other people are saying all kinds of things are going to happen. It's really unclear to me because I don't really follow a lot of these teachers, although, you mm-hmm. know, I do pay attention to what's going on. But, you know, my emphasis has always been, and I hope it always will be, is what God says, you know. Because, you know, there's several things that kind of guide my study, guide how I think about about biblical prophecy. You know, for instance, in 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 13, God says, we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. Now, that's a pretty bold statement to God's people from God. And all too often, matter of fact, most of the time I get people telling me they can't understand Scripture, so maybe that's why they go listen to everybody else tell them what Scripture says. But God says, you know, we can read and understand His Word. And then about this time of the end, you and I always talk about the time of the end, there's a passage in Mark 13:23 where Christ is talking about the time of the end and his return, and he tells his believers, the disciples he was speaking to, he said, I have told you everything ahead of time. You know, think about that. When Christ speaks, I mean, he's spoken literally from Genesis to Revelation. Everything in the Bible is the Word of God, and Christ is God in the flesh, and, you know, he knows everything, you know. So he's telling us that he's told us everything ahead of time.
Yeah, amen.
So many people come out with things that he hasn't said. Now, you know, there was, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I like about Jonathan Cahn. You know, he wrote The Harbinger and the Shemitah. But lately, you know, he's getting people worked up to the point where, you know, they think something's going to happen in September, this month. You know, because of things he's saying and things that I guess maybe, you know, John Hagee is saying and Perry Stone and other people are saying. But I keep going back to like, well, wait a minute. If Christ said, I've told you everything ahead of time, but he never mentioned the Shemitah with regard to the time of the end, and he never mentioned blood moons anywhere in the Bible. When I say blood moons, I mean plural. You know, there is a blood moon sign that happens after the Great Tribulation and just before the Day of the Lord and the Second Coming. But these people are making all kinds of claims that, you know, and they're Bible prophecy people, and they're getting everybody excited about what's going to happen. And here's
I see what you're saying, but let's have a conversation a second here. And I want to talk about the Shemitah. Okay, well, why you say that it doesn't, you know, elaborately point out the Shemitah, the patterns of what Jonathan, and I have seen all the videos and I've seen all the research, and my guess is at least 90% of it. And, you know, never once does he call it prophecy. But here's the deal. He points out patterns in the Shemitah pattern, which is laid out in the Word of God. See, there's the point. It is laid out in the Shemitah pattern is laid out in the Word of God because it talks about the 7 years. It goes back to Leviticus, and I think it's even in Deuteronomy. It talks about every 7 years there's a year of rest, you know, and if you don't...
Absolutely. I'm fully aware of that.
Okay. And so all Jonathan Cain is pointing at, what he's pointing out is that if you don't abide by this, then that makes it a Shemitah year, and it's dramatically, God will take back, and he will curse. And that is in the Word. And so we see, all he did was point out the patterns of these seven-year periods and what's happened in these seven-year periods, and it has been pretty dramatic, the patterns of sevens. In fact, there's so many patterns of seven tied up in the Shemitah when he starts quoting them all that it's just almost an impossibility of the odds of it being is just dramatically. It couldn't be a coincidence. But even saying it's a coincidence, the pattern is absolutely there. Exactly 7 years ago, we had a stock market crash. Exactly 7 years prior to that, we had a financial crash and we had 9/11. And it was the same way if you follow it back, these sevens. And so now we're at another seven-year period, and he's saying, look, if it follows the same pattern, then we could be in real serious trouble. Let alone the fact that this is going to be a year of Jubilee. He's not saying absolutely something would happen, but here's the problem. What you have is a lot of people that jump on the bandwagon and start grabbed onto that Shemitah and said, absolutely, thus saith the Lord, and saying all these things are going to absolutely happen and putting words in Cain's mouth that he's just not saying. And so, while he's legitimately, and I'm glad that he is pointing out the Shemitah and the pattern, but all these other people that jumped on, you know, including John Hagee, who jumped on the Blood Moon thing. In fact, John Hagee, the Blood Moon was a thing Mark Blitz studied and figured out, and it purely by accident came upon it. And he did a wonderful study on it, and it's in his book, and you can get a free DVD from him about it, the original one. And, you know, and he said when these blood moons happen on feast days, certain things happen with Israel that are undeniable. Okay? And so there's a pattern. And that's what he pointed out. He didn't say there was going to be a rapture or anything. Well, John Hagee grabbed onto his study, in fact, and wrote a book and claimed that, and even laid claim to saying that he's the one that found the pattern and so on and so forth, and that the rapture and all kinds of other things are going to happen. So both of these guys, Jonathan Cain, who talks about Shemitah, and Mark Blitz, these guys are going to be the ones get stuck if nothing happens, but they never said absolutely anything was going to happen. These other guys have jumped on and are false prophets. And you know what? I'll say it on the air. John Hagee is an apostate, and right now he is. As they tried to talk to him about the taking of the credit for the blood moons, and you know he's basically in total. Ignoring him. And so I don't know what that calls it, but if you use somebody else's work, it's just not good. Back to you.
It's plagiarism.
Yeah. It's kind of like stealing, you know. But really, there's my point. And there's so much garbage out here that they're saying, and they're basing it on those two people's work. But it isn't the things that they're saying. They're not saying that. It's what all these other people, and believe me, they've got everything from a Palestinian state coming.
I've heard, you know, I mean, when people come to me and they start talking about the blood moons, and they talk about the Shemitah, you know, I've got to go back and see, you know, what did Jonathan Kahn say? What did John Hagee say? You know, and I've watched a few of their YouTube videos, and, you know, some of them are hours long, and, you know, some of them are shorter, and but they, you know, it's pretty easy to see what you're saying is true. I mean, there, you know, Jonathan Kahn is not stating this as he's making a prophecy, but when you listen to everything he says, he does leave you with the impression that there, he's predicting something's going to happen this month.
Now,
I come away from hearing him. Pardon?
I said there's no denying that he feels like that there's going to be a crash this month of some sort. And looking at it, I believe it too. But neither one of us are saying, thus saith the Lord. That doesn't make it prophecy. If I look at a grid and say, well, my dog, you know, walks across the street three times a day, and so I think he's going to walk across the street three times a day, that's just a prediction. It doesn't mean thus saith the Lord, and there's no harm in it, you know. It's good to know.
I understand. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, following, concerned about the Shemitah and the blood moons and all these things have been the same. Here's what the Lord has been putting on my heart, for several months now, but this month it just seems to be like doubling down on everything. It's in Isaiah 44. It's 24 through 26. Isaiah 44, 24 through 26. It says this. This is what Yehovah says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am Yehovah, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself. He says, I foil the signs of the false prophets and make fools of diviners, who overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense. I am Yehovah, who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messengers.
Right.
Now, I don't know if John Hagee or Jonathan Kahn or Perry Stone's claiming to be a prophet. I don't hear him saying that. I just hear him making all kinds of crazy statements that I cannot find any support for in Scripture. With regard to prophecy, yes, I know all about the Shemitah. You know, the Shemitah was technically, the Shemitah was for the land. The Shemitah is not for the world yet. It will be when the law goes out from Israel, but it's only for God's people in the land when they go there. So it doesn't really apply to the United States. Never has applied to the United States. If you read the Bible carefully, it is, the Shemitah is the seven, is the annual Sabbath. In other words, every 7 years, there's supposed to be a year of rest. I understand all about the Shemitah. I know everything there is to know about the blood moon sign in the Bible and how it relates to the second coming. But I'm going to tell you right now, based on the Word of God, I think that this month is not going to be anything like we've been led to think could happen. In other words, I think God is actually going to make September a normal, quiet, regular month. Well, normal, quiet these days is like hard to imagine because every month has got some crazy stuff in it these days. But I'm thinking like, no, he's not going to give him, he's not going to, he says, I will foil the signs of those that are, you know, making predictions out of their own imaginations. So I'm thinking like, this month, it's going to be an interesting month to watch because people are saying things will happen. And I think the Bible is saying, no, nothing's going to happen this month. Now listen to me carefully.
Amen.
I'm the guy that's saying, and has been saying to you for, you know, since 2007, there's going to be an Iran war.
That's going to be the
seal of Revelation. It's going to take peace from the earth. What I'm telling you right now is it's not going to happen in September. I'm the guy that says when that war starts, there's going to be an economic collapse that's going to make the United States fall into something like a depression. I'm saying that's not going to happen in September. It could happen in October, but I'm saying it won't happen this month. So you can watch Bible prophecy about everything with, you know, you can figure out what John, if you can figure out what Jonathan Cahn and John Hagee and Perry Stone are saying is going to happen this month, I'm going to tell you this. It's not going to happen the way they say. Okay. Whatever they call themselves, it doesn't really matter to me.
Amen.
God is saying, I'm not.
Okay. I have no idea what Perry Stone said, and I could care less. John Hagee is a false prophet. As far as Jonathan Cain, I've seen the patterns of the Shemitahs and the reasonings why. That's why, the reasonings why he says that a possibility that it could happen. And his explanation about what you said, it was for Israel, but I can't go into all that. It'd take over 2 hours to do that. But the program isn't about it.
Right.
The point is I do believe that there's a strong possibility we could have a crash this month. I'm not saying that it's thus saith the Lord, nor is Jonathan Cain. And anybody else is talking about the Shemitah, I'm not necessarily in their camp either, because I don't know exactly what they said. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is there's a possibility. So what happened? I mean, you know, last September, or 7 years ago, there was an economic crash happened in September. It happened on the 29th of Elul.
Right.
7 years prior to that, it happened, and it happened on the 29th of Elul. There's a pretty good probability of that happening again. What will you say then if it does happen? It can't happen on the
29th. Call me back, I'll let you know.
But yeah, well, because
call me,
it
ain't, if it happens, call
hey,
me and we'll
you,
talk
you've
about
got
it.
A safe bet because it can't happen on the 29th, because the stock market's not open on Sunday. So it would have to come
right.
It's
not going
to
happen the next day either.
Yeah, anyway,
I don't think anything's going to happen
at all.
But let me just say this about
John. Okay, well, you think it's okay, we got to go to a break. We'll
be
back.
I think
we went past break.
Okay.
Give your website real quick or tell them how to Google you. We've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, just type in Google, Richard H. Perry. Richard H. Perry. You can go to me on Facebook. You can go to my YouTube videos. You can go to my website, Richard H. Perry.
Richard H. Perry, folks. And remember, he's the one that said we're going to have September as a peaceful month, and we're going to find out, though, when he gets back, about some other things that I do believe that Richard's saying is correct about Iran. We'll be back in 3.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. We are into a new month. This is the third of the month. Excuse me. We need to restock food, clothing. Well, we did restock clothing. In fact, we have to drive 100 miles to pick up. Isn't that ludicrous? We have to drive 100 miles to pick up clothing for Wichita from a little tiny town and a couple little tiny secondhand stores when Wichita has a huge amount of people. Okay, folks, if you live in Wichita, you should consider bringing your donations to Messiah's Branch or clothing, because we can use them for your fellow citizens. And that's what I mean. You know, I don't know why it's been so hard for us. I mean, everybody, all the agencies, all the people in Wichita that know us, mind you, know us, all brag about what we do. You know, even the police department brags about what we do. But do we get any help from Wichita? Not really any that you could speak of. A little bit at a time. We do have a Messianic church that we got some guys there that's been bringing us eggs. And him and his dad from, and his dad, though, isn't from a Messianic church. But so they bring us a little bit of stuff for a while. We had another Messianic church that was making a donation every Feast of Tabernacles, speaking of which is coming up. And so we used to get their poor donation, because really, at the Feast of Tabernacles, it's traditional to donate to the poor during that period of time. And so they would give us their Feast of Tabernacles donation. But we didn't get that last year, and I doubt very seriously we're going to get it this year. And usually that Tabernacles donation is a donation that helped us to where we could have a really good Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is one of our biggest days of the year. But we really don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies or even really the citizens of Wichita. We have to rely on people like you that listen to us on radio, that have supported us for now that we're in our 16th year, that make this mission church work. It's really a miracle what happens, because, you know, I'm not a rich man, and I'm a preacher that believes that a preacher should be the brokest guy on the block, so I'll spend down to the last dime in my pocket to take care of the people. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, this is why we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. And if we have a way to fill the need, we fill it. If we don't, we pray it in. You know, we are the last hope for so many folks. We are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate it online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682. Now remember, you can donate online. You can mail a check or money order. But pray about it, and we really could use your support. Or if you don't want to support helping the poor, if you enjoy these radio programs, radio airtime costs and station time costs, so pray about supporting radio. And now we're back with Richard Perry. If he hasn't left me yet, have you left me, Richard?
No, I'm hanging in there, Dan.
let me say one thing, a headline I noticed a while ago, and then I'll let you run with it. A while ago, I noticed a headline by, guess who, Donald Trump. And he says that the Iran nuclear deal calls for the United States to defend Iran against an Israeli attack. He says if Israel attacks Iran, according to the deal, he says he believes that we will have to fight with Iran against Israel. And what do you think about that?
Well, I think you'd have to read the fine print, but there's probably something in there that would, you know, let him say that. My opinion about the deal, and by the way, I, like Nancy Pelosi, I have not read the whole deal.
You're going to compare yourself to Nancy Pelosi.
I got to be honest. I haven't read the deal, but I think I know enough about it to know that this is a very bad deal.
Has anybody ran
it very poorly? Oh yeah. Well, I think there's a few people that have.
I mean, is it available?
People, Congress.
Is it available?
It is. You can actually get. Yeah, you can get a copy of it.
Oh, I didn't know.
I did get a copy of it through .gov or something. I forget which one, but. But basically, you know, you look at this thing from step back from the deal, and even with a basic, you know, overview, you've got to say this deal financially strengthens our enemy. An enemy that declares, you know, death to America and we're going to wipe Israel out. And it also, financially strengthens our enemy, strengthens Iran, without significantly limiting their ability to project their Islamic revolutionary goals on our allies, number one of which should be Israel. But, you know, this deal, let me take the story as it stands right now.
Okay.
This week, Obama got enough Democratic votes in the Senate to be able to override any, you know, that would prevent any veto or an override of a veto of his of any legislation blocking this deal. So basically, he's got the deal on our side of the ocean. Now, Khomeini, the supreme leader of Iran, he's insisting that their parliament they must review and vote on this deal. Our Congress, here's the basic schedule. Our Congress is supposed to vote on this deal by around September 14th. Then the Iranian parliament is supposed to vote on the deal by October 2nd. Neither of those two things mean anything. The only thing that means anything right now is what Khomeini, the supreme leader of Iran, says, because he's the one that will approve or disapprove it regardless of what anybody else says.
Right.
And I think his indications have been that he's not going to sign any deal with Great Satan. He recently said today, he said, there will be no nuclear deal unless all sanctions are lifted. Well, that's like renegotiating the deal, because that's not what the deal says. So anyways, the whole thing right now, the whole Iranian nuclear deal between Obama and Khomeini is now in Khomeini's hands. And he probably won't even say anything until sometime in October.
And if Do you think Iran already has a bomb?
There's a possibility. It doesn't matter, but you know, I think they might, but I don't know. Nobody really knows. They certainly have the know-how and they have the materials. So you know, and heck, you know, they could have gotten one made by, you know, North Korea. They could have already devised their plan. North Korea could have tested it for them. I mean, I've heard reports that China and Russia have helped Iran with weaponizing their nuclear capabilities. But I don't see Iran using a nuclear weapon. I see Iran, biblically, as ambushing the United States, and I think that would be ambushing our Fifth Fleet in the Persian Gulf. And when they do that, I think they will attack Israel. And then we'll see, you know, Iran's allies, Syria, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, and the Palestinians on the West Bank, all attacking Israel. Probably others will join in, like ISIS might even join the fight against Israel, because once you start fighting Israel, it's a whole new ballgame.
Right.
But the thing that I see God has said, and I can, you know, I pointed it out in my books and I pointed it out on YouTube videos, where I see God talking about Iran and how they will be the next war, and how that war will trigger an economic crisis, and how that economic crisis and war will awaken all the churches, all the households of God worldwide, all about the same time, because the crisis will be so great. And I think, you know, my opinion is God has actually said that. You know, he's actually laid that those prophecies out for us. And, you know, you and I both know that when Christ gave the Olivet Discourse and when he inspired the book of Revelation and when he revealed the prophecies about the time of the end to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Habakkuk, he mentioned a lot of specific things that would happen as indicators in the time of the end about the time of the end. And he said, when you see all these things, you'll know. But people are running around talking about things that he didn't say. You know, he didn't mention the Smita with regard to the time of the end. He didn't mention blood moons regarding the time of the end. And that is a distraction for God's people. God's people ought to be reading their Bibles to see the things that Christ said we would see. Because, you know, he said all these would be the beginning of birth pains. You know, and he said you would see
okay.
this. And he said, when you see all these things, you'll know that the time is near.
Okay, he said we'd see signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Okay, well, let me just ask you this then. Per se, okay, I've looked at the patterns of the blood moons, and by the way, every time that it's happened on the feast that they talk about, while there was a war or something, it always turned out good for Israel. Israel got more land back. So there's a definitely, we're talking about six-day war, several different, you know, the creation of Israel. These all happen around these blood moon occurrences, and that happened on feast days. Now, you say that's not the, it looks like a pattern, so the pattern's just what? Nothing? It's just coincidence?
It could be. I mean, you know, I know about financial patterns, and if you go look at the stock market and the cycles, they go in 7-year cycles.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm not
all
talking about stock market. I'm talking about the blood moon pattern.
I'm talking about financial stuff. But again, yeah, there are. I believe there are cycles, and sometimes you can make cycles where there aren't any cycles. You know, and I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you if the Bible code's any good either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
My specialty is one thing.
Right. There you go. There's your specialty. You have a specialty. Amen. All I'm saying is that objectively, people that have spotted these patterns, the original people, and originally what they said, you know, the patterns are clearly there. Whether they mean anything, whether it will mean anything, is, you know, well, I don't know. All I'm saying is I do know that there is a pattern there. In both cases, there's an extreme pattern because I don't know. I just did the research and looked at it. And I'm not, you know, but Richard, I do believe what you're saying about Iran. And I'm not saying that the patterns are right or wrong because I'm not God. I don't know, but I do know God created the heavens and the moons and the earth and the stars, and he created them for signs for us. So, but I don't know. I don't know if these are going to mean something or not mean something. It's just we'll have to wait and see. Previously on these blood moon things, something has happened. And concerning Israel, absolutely. That is there, you know. But as for the stock market, you got all these guys out here that are predicting a stock market crash. Some are saying September, but some of them are just saying fall. So do you think that it's going to, do you think something will happen with Iran this fall that it'll cause it?
I don't know. My prediction, I made it on your show. I've made it all over the place. I've said that three things will happen.
Okay, let's
while
hear it.
Obama is still president. Okay, Obama will be president for another year and a half.
Right.
In that year and a half, I don't know when these things will happen, but these three things will happen. First, the first thing that will happen before any economic crisis will be Iran will start a war, and they'll probably start it with us, but Israel will become involved.
Okay.
So there'll be Iran will start a war. It's the second seal of Revelation.
Right.
Take peace from the earth. That's Iran. That thing that happens after that, this is the financial collapse that will happen after the Iran war starts. Our creditors will wake up and make us tremble, then we become their victim. That's a prophecy in the second chapter of Habakkuk. And it connects to a war after, and it says it's, our creditors do this because we have shed men's blood. We, the United States, have shed men's blood and destroyed lands, cities, and everybody in them. The violence you have done to Lebanon will terrify you. The destruction of animals will horrify you. And you, I believe, is the United States. So there will be an Iran war started by Iran. Then there will be an economic crisis started by the creditors of the United States. And the third thing that will happen, all these things will happen while Obama is still president, all Bible churches, all the households of God worldwide will all wake up and realize that the time of the end has come.
Yeah, and do you connect that to the
economic crisis? Yes, I do.
Yeah, amen. So, and this is something I want to point out to the people. There's a lot of folks out there that this is one of the reasons I like Richard, and I do. And these three things are highly probable that he's saying. But one thing that you're saying, Richard, you know, you realize we also got so many people out there that are talking about not only with this collapse, they're talking about then. Now, here's part of the tacked on things. They're saying, okay, well, there's going to be an economic collapse, and then Obama's not going to leave office, and there's going to be martial law and all that. But the big deal is saying Obama is not going to be leave office, and he will be our last president. On the record, do you want to say if he's going to be the last?
I heard that the other day. No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think he's...
I guarantee you that Obama will finish... Obama might not finish his term.
Right.
You know, but there will be another president. There will be another president. Obama might not finish his term because, you know, I think I've told you this before. It says in the Bible that he will stumble and fall and nobody helps him up. But the word in Hebrew for fall is the kind of fall you have when you drop dead.
Really?
In other words, it's possible when he becomes so unpopular as a result of his actions with Iran that he gets assassinated. That's a possibility based on the Hebrew language and the prophecies that I'm referring to.
You know, he
but all this is going to mean.
Go ahead.
But
it's going to.
That's it. I said,
He's
going to fall, and nobody's going to help him up.
Yeah, amen. And Obama is, and I'm not trying to make a joke out of it, folks. I really am. I have respect for the office of the presidency, not for the guy that's in it right now. But anyway, he is so about himself, so prideful that he sees all these kind of things happen. He could just simply drop dead of a sheer heart attack or heart failure because he couldn't take it. You know, and that is saying kind of jokingly, but I believe that he may not make it all the way through office because of something. But I believe that otherwise, I believe, and here's, I'm going on record because I know I'm on another radio program with somebody that believes that Obama isn't going to leave office. But I will clearly tell you that I believe that, and short of some kind of martial law for race riots or something, which race riots could be in the cards with all these cops getting shot, but I don't know. But from what I look, Obama right now is building legacy things, and that's why he may try to force a Palestinian state, because he wants it as a legacy thing, just like he wants this Iran thing like a legacy thing, and he wanted the control of the water like a legacy thing, and that list just goes on and on and on, Richard.
Yeah, the next thing to happen is that Iran's going to start a war, probably because Obama's going to have to provoke them. Then there'll be an economic crisis. Then all the churches are going to wake up and realize that we're in the time of the end. Those are the three things that will happen in the next year and a half. I don't know when they're going to happen.
Okay, so we got first war with Iran, and then an economic crisis, and the third one, in simple terms, is the churches wake up.
All the churches wake up.
Okay, all of the churches wake up. Can we say all real believing churches, right?
No. Even the unbelieving.
Really?
The whole world's going to wake up. The churches are going to wake up. The Bible churches are going to wake up and go like, oh, my God, this means that the Messiah is coming. This means the Messiah is coming back. I mean, it doesn't matter what denomination they're in. Everybody knows, if you're Jewish, you know the Messiah is coming. If you're Christian, you know the Messiah is coming back. If you're Messianic, you know both those things, you know. It's like, and they're going to, the situation in the world when Iran starts this war and the economic crisis follows, will be so dire, so apocalyptic that, you know, people are going to wonder why the rapture hadn't happened.
Right.
It's going to be beyond our imagination. It's going to be so bad. And it's going to be so bad because all the churches are asleep right now and they're all going to wake up at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how bad it will be.
Yeah, you said this before.
This is going to be huge.
let me encourage the folks for a minute, Richard. Folks, I strongly encourage you to go back to the radio archives and listen to actually all of Richard's previous programs. But the previous programs we've talked about Iran, where he started making this prediction, and I think that you really need to listen to it. He gives some very strong scripture for it, and there's some other reasons, and you need to go listen to it. Richard, I know everything. You know what? When you first said this a few years ago about, you know, Iran and blah, 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 you know, the landscape didn't look like it at all. But every day it's getting closer to that picture. You know what I'm saying? It's becoming clearer and clearer.
It doesn't seem to be going away. It keeps getting closer.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
If this wasn't what the Lord was saying, you think somewhere we would have turned left or turned right. But no, the economic situation keeps getting more dire. The Middle East situation gets more dire. The situation with Russia, China, and the U.S. relations in the world is getting more dire. You know, the divide in this country is getting more pronounced, like race riots, economic riots, you name it. We've got it here. It's all about to explode. You know, it's like road rage is about to leave the road and hit the streets. You know, we're going to have civil unrest in this country when this economic crisis hits, and there's not going to be a solution for it. You know, it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christians have got to learn to stop listening to, you know, everybody and start reading their Bible to see what God says to them.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be too easy? Just read the Bible? I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because, you know, because when I read the Bible,
who would have thought of that? Richard, who would have thought of that? Read the Bible.
God speaks to me. Yeah, God speaks to me and he tells me what to do. But guess what? You read the Bible, God will speak to you and tell you what to do. And he's not going to tell you what he's telling me, but he'll, you know, he's not going to tell you a different truth. The truth is still the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let me just say this before we sign off. And, you know, I put up a lot of stuff on Facebook. I know you've seen a lot of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people want Richard H. Perry on Facebook, you know, friend me, and that way you can keep an eye on, you can watch the things that I'm watching develop in the world.
Oh, amen.
Because I use Facebook kind of like a picture Twitter, you know, watch articles and things that I think are real relevant. So if you want to follow this stuff, you know, I read your Bible, that's number one. But if you want to see what I'm watching, you know, friend me on Facebook, Richard H. Perry.
On Facebook, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, same thing on Twitter, Richard H. Perry.
Right, we'll do that.
Google Plus. Pardon?
I said we will do that. But we got to go, Richard, so we'll do it again, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Hey, after this month, let's talk again.
Let's talk about we can talk about what all didn't happen. Okay, all right. I love you, brother.
Exactly.
I'll see you later. I got to go. Goodbye and shalom.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, folks, there are so many things out there that are supposed to happen and not happening. And, you know, clearly you can see where Richard's heart's at. Will the Shemitah happen? I strongly suggest if you are going to judge the Shemitah or Shemitah, whatever, Shemitah, is that you get the original tape of it and see what Jonathan Cahn said about it. And then judge from that if he's right or wrong. The same way about the Blood Moons. I strongly suggest you get Mark Butts' DVD and check it out and see exactly what he says. And that's Mark Butts is El Shaddai Ministries. I got to go. Prayer about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We must remember that there's only one God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.